Hey, welcome to Kingsway Caringba. We are a community inspired by love to live differently. I'm Dave, one of the pastors here. It's so great to have you with us. We pray this teaching will inspire you, build your faith, and lead you to a life of fullness and freedom in Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Have a seat. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Jen. So great to be preaching alongside Bretto this morning. How good is it to have him back in worship? I love those songs, you know, that Our God Reigns songs has a, Our God Reigns songs has a particular sweet spot. You know, sometimes when you sing a worship song and the Lord just uses that moment to bring a transformational change in your life. That happened to me in a random moment a few years ago when I was traveling with Open Doors, and I've shared this before, but it had such a profound impact on me. I was in Egypt, and there was a part of Egypt that was completely, was like garbage city. So the city was completely, this part of the city was where they would take the trash, a little bit probably similar to the story Brett has in Cambodia, and you would sort of drive in there. And the reason that this part of the city was in trash, or this part of the city was just an absolute horrific garbage dump, was because in Egypt that was where the sun set. So they would put all the poor people, they would search through the rubbish. Anyway, this particular community, the poor people in that area, they were uneducated, they were unschooled, and the kids, you would see them again, like you do in a lot of poverty-stricken areas, that they would be searching through the rubbish, and again, it's quite toxic and really horrific. But we sat in this church, which is now quite famous, called the Church of the Rock in Egypt, and what happened is these poor people were not allowed in the Orthodox church because, in a sense, they couldn't shower, and so they would come into these places and they weren't welcomed. And so this guy who had this encounter with Jesus decided that he would carve a church out of the rock, and he would invite people in the community. And it's now actually quite famous, and they have had miracles of healing, miracles from people that have been rescued from all sorts of drug addictions and things like that. And I'm like, that's the church. That's the church I want to be a part of, the messy one. Not the one with crystal clean windows and, you know, where no one's really engaged in community at all. And it had such a profound impact on me. It was quite a few years ago. I think it was about 14 years ago now. But boy, yeah, one of those moments. So that song has such a huge impact on my life. And yeah, so anyway, that was just a side note in my lead up to my notes. Had a great time in P9 again yesterday. We had a stack of people down at Sea Change where we just were able to celebrate a whole heap of people who find themselves homeless at this time of year. And yeah, just a blessing to be part of a community. All of us, when I say community, I'm talking about the church, so engaged in so many levels. And over the years, I've tried to teach myself to look for what God's doing, you know, to partner with what God's doing. And, you know, we've always been taught growing up, particularly probably my generation, is you can make a difference. I kind of challenge that a little bit because I think Jesus is always making a difference. We just need to partner with him and learn how to partner with him. It's not about us. It's all about him. It's all about him getting the glory for what he's doing. And sometimes we need to train our eyes to look for what Jesus is doing. And there's beautiful moments in the everyday, you know, interactions that we all have in life where Jesus is at work. So be encouraged to look for what Jesus is doing in your life. And last Sunday was our party here, but Brett and I quickly drove down to Sea Change. They had their Sea Change party, and there was one of the ladies down there. They had Brookie, as he does, you know, just really felt convicted by God that he needed a baptistry. So he bought this really random tub, like it's literally a bathtub, and it's on wheels. And I was there one day, and I'm looking around going, what are you doing? Like, seriously. He's like, Jen, people need to be baptized. We don't have a baptistry here. I'm like, are you kidding? So he's bringing this spa thing up the stairs. And I'm like, is that your Baptist tree? Anyway, that's a whole nother story again. But anyway, he brings this. So crazy story is, we're at the party last weekend. The baptistry's there, right? And he's like, I said, what's the baptistry doing out in the car park? That's where they have their Christmas party. He's like, oh, yeah, we're baptising one of the women from Platform 9 today. So she got baptised last Saturday. That's Jesus at work, yeah? So cool. But funny story as well, Brooke didn't really time the end of the bar, so he went to baptise her and smashed her head on the end. We're all like, kind of, anyway, but she was fine. She came out unscathed and with a great story to tell, and one for us to put with our archives of all the bloopers we've done over the years as pastors of a church. And believe you me, there's probably a whole book, it's been a long time, of all the things I've done wrong. Anyway, so let me pray this morning as I just kind of share the word. I'm pretty excited about what God's doing across all of our lives. And my prayer this morning is that Jesus will encourage you in where you're at, because I know that God is at work in all of us, no matter where we are. So, Father, I just want to commit this word to you today, and I'm just so grateful for everybody that's here. I pray, Father, that wherever people find themselves in the journey, I pray, Father, that by the power of your Holy Spirit, that there would be a sense of joy, deep sense of joy, Lord God, that we would experience today as we come and we come around your word and we position ourselves, Lord God, to be challenged by you, but also to be encouraged by you. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Don't you love this time of year, yeah? I do. It's one of my favorite times of year. But for a lot of people, that's not always the case. Again, we were up at Miranda the other day because we're doing Christmas wrapping. It's amazing how many people are fighting in Miranda Fair when you're on the Christmas thing. And, you know, it's really weird. You have all these carols that are singing in the background. And then you hear these people like, I'm like, joy of Jesus. You need to hear. Anyway, so, yeah, but not always joyful. Not always a joyful time. And in Luke 2:10, where the angel comes and she gives Mary a word, and she says in Luke 2:10, she says, don't be afraid. I will bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. So the good news that the angel was bringing, or the angel that was declaring at that particular time to Mary, wasn't just a nice little statement that the little angel was coming down to Mary and go, you know, Jesus is bringing great good news of great joy. I mean, this was going to radically shift and change her life. That message that angel brought, good news that will bring great joy to all people, was actually more than a statement. It was a declaration of God's power at work in their lives in that particular moment. And the gift for us is that is actually a declaration of the power of God at work in our lives. That it's not just a statement of good news, that we actually walk out the good news of Jesus Christ in everything that we do. That we're co-workers and co-heirs in the things that God is calling us to do uniquely with our lives. That looks very different individually, but also collectively, God is doing incredible things across the planet. And it's amazing to think that this is good news, that we carry good news, that we're good news bringers. And that's why we've been looking at Paul, and we've been looking at the story of Paul, and we've been looking at the testimony of Paul. And we've been seeing that Paul, who wrote this letter at the time to the Philippian church, he was in prison. And so it's interesting that at that time he wrote this incredible book about joy. An unexplainable joy, not a joy that's defined by happiness or external circumstances that enable someone to feel joy, but a spiritual joy. Because I believe that if we believe that the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, it's a cultivation, it's a gift from God. It's an unexplainable gift that God gives us as we continue to press in and understand who He is. And what we've been invited into as part of the good news story. See, Paul wasn't defined by his circumstances. He was defined by the truth that his life in the present, in prison, and his life in the future was defined by Jesus, not by anyone else. So the book of Philippians is really about the anchoring of who he was in Jesus. And if we look at it, he goes on to thank the Philippian church for supporting him and to loving him. And it was like a book of trying to encourage them in the midst of an incredibly patriotic Roman citizenship that he was part of, that persecution was really a part of what they were walking into at that particular time. That they could expect the fact that as they proclaim that Jesus is Lord, that their very lives would be at risk because it really defied what, for them, the patriotism of the Roman citizenship that gave honour to Caesar at the time. Caesar? Yeah. So it's interesting, you know, you kind of look at this backdrop of, okay, how did Paul, in a sense, what happened for him? Because I know as Christians, and particularly for me, we are not immune in our lives from the reality of suffering in this world, both in our own lives, but also the reality of suffering that happens outside of who we are. And let's be honest, we don't always feel joyful. So what is it that the Lord is wanting us to chase down in the midst of this good news, in the midst of this hope, in the midst of sometimes feeling this time of year? There's a lot of people that feel disconnected. There's a lot of people that walk through brokenness. There's a lot of people that feel lonely at Christmas time. So what is the good news that we bring of great joy? It's the hope we have in Jesus. It's the hope that evil doesn't have the last word because Christ is victorious over sin. It's the hope in the promise of God and his faithfulness. It's the hope that he is all-powerful and pushes back darkness. It's the hope that we are co-laborers with God in bringing heaven on earth. And it's the hope that God is continuing to do a transformational work in our lives, that we would be carriers of hope, as it talks about in Colossians, the hope of Christ in us. But the challenge is like any of the gifts of the Spirit, it's something that that the Holy Spirit continues to cultivate in us as we partner with him. And the instruction for us, or the part that we get to play, is that that's often done through worship and gratitude. That in a sense, as we continue to position ourselves and have an understanding of who we are in Christ, and that our external circumstances don't define the reality of the hope that we have in Christ, we can anchor ourselves in the truth that nothing can shake us. That we have an unshakable God that is for us and not against us. That despite what we walk through in any situation and in any circumstance, we have the hope of Christ that promises that he can turn good out of every bad situation. That we have a God who is continually interceding, that we have Jesus who is continually interceding for us. What, that's the good news of what we bring and what we carry in the midst of our challenges and in the midst of the reality of what God offers us at this time of year, particularly. Joy in the midst of it. Not a fake kind of happiness joy, but a deep sense of joy that comes through the relational connection we have with Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. That we carry a sense of hope within us. And we have the eyes of Jesus that then becomes a carrier of hope for those around us. There's a Bible passage that we're looking at. It's Philippians 3:7-16. I think it's going to be up here, Jess, if you can pop it up on the... Oh, great. It says this, "But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, because like him in death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained all of this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining forward to what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Jesus Christ. See, pressing on is the process. Pressing on is the part that we play in the midst of the good news that we have in Christ. That the testimony of Paul being able to say in that scripture that he considers everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord. And where he says that that he participates in his suffering, and at one stage where he says, you know, for me to die is gain, I've always like kind of, that was a little bit weird to me, because I think there's been situations certainly that I've been in where that wouldn't have been my choice. But I think for Paul, again, his anchor is in the truth of who Jesus is and who Jesus, his encounter with Jesus and who Jesus said he was, which made him and enabled him to be able to be okay no matter what was happening externally around him. Some phenomenal passages of scripture that have really held the persecuted church as an anchor in the midst of their own suffering and journey and questions. But the challenge for us is actually the pressing on, the straining towards the goal that we have, the moving towards the goal that Christ has for us, to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me, forgetting and straining towards what is ahead and pressing on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me. Again, it's a process. And we're all on a journey of transition and change. And there's always different external events that are impacting us differently. So how do we continue to hold ourselves in the midst of challenges and situations where we're continually being transformed, where we're continually being transformed into the likeness of Christ, that we will be carriers of joy and good news? I've just put this, what are the hope and joy suckers in our life? You know, what sucks your joy? What sucks your hope? And what's your anchor point? What are you standing on in the midst of those seasons and in the midst of that time? And I think we have a glimpse in the Gospels around how vulnerable we can be in the midst of a transformational process that's taking part in our lives. See, the Holy Spirit, at one particular time in the disciples' lives when they were really quite vulnerable, and I've preached on this before, is when they actually were going on the road to Emmaus and they were suffering from disappointment and challenges, and their hope was shattered. Where Jesus encountered them and they said, and he asked them questions and they answered him, but we had the hope of the one to be to redeem Israel. And they also, and beginning with Moses and the prophets, Jesus interpreted to them all the scriptures of the things concerning him. See, when the disciples were in the midst of the transformational process of what God was doing in their lives through that time of pain and suffering, Jesus didn't leave them alone. He met them on their journey to breathe hope, to breathe life, to breathe joy, to breathe the truth of the promise and the faithfulness of God back into their lives as they walked the road to Emmaus. He reminded them of the promises of God that the prophets before them had gone. He reminded them of the history. He reminded them of all that God had done. That even though their hopes had been out of kilter, their hopes that they had hoped for this king, that they had hoped that God would act in a certain way, that God was so much bigger and the picture was so much bigger. The role they had was to trust in the promises of who Jesus was. That was the partnering process for them, that Jesus met them. And they were in a place of transition, of dismay, of frustration and confusion. All their hopes had been shattered because they failed to see the promises that God had for them in the midst of their disappointment and pain. And I don't know about you, but when we're traveling through a time of transformation, a lot of my transformation has happened in a place where I've had an incredible sense of either suffering or pain. And so when we're moving towards where God wants us to go, our vulnerability, the joy vulnerability, is that we lose hope and we lose joy in these moments because the enemy can come in and he can rob us of our identity in Christ and can rob us of the hope that we have in Christ and the promises that God promises. He will never abandon us. He will never leave us. He is the way maker and he can make a way out where there isn't a way out. That Jesus is all powerful. And that I love the fact that Jesus comes in their moment of vulnerability and he meets them and he reminds them again of who God is and the story, the biggest story that God's writing with their lives and that he can be trusted. And the transformational process for him is that they were here in their brokenness. And scripture tells us that God meets us in our brokenness and he holds our hand and he walks with us. I believe it wholeheartedly because I see it all the time. That there is nothing so broken that it can't be redeemed, because that's the God we serve, that's the hope we have in Jesus. So no matter what has happened in our past, it can always be a springboard towards the future. But for so many of us, and there's been moments in my life where it can become a blockage. It can be like this, I'm stuck. But for the disciples to experience the power and the presence of God, they had to keep moving. They had to deal with their fear and discomfort. They had to deal with the uncertainty. They had to respond to Jesus leading, and they had to surrender the need to know and to be okay in the midst of uncertainty. It's a big ask sometimes, yeah? But the power of God is at work in those moments. And that's when the community needs to come alongside, because that's what we see in the road to Emmaus, is that these guys were not alone. They were together, walking together in community. Sure, they bailed on their calling and they were gone fishing and they were probably angry and all these other emotions that we often don't talk about enough in church. It's okay. God is bigger than all of that. He will meet us where we're at. He will meet us in the midst of our brokenness, that we may get our feet back anchored on the truth of who we are in Jesus. We are his children, and he promises that we can live a life that is unshakable. And that is the truth. That is the good news of great joy. And we can see from Scripture, when we read the difference between Passover and Pentecost, that something significant happened in the disciples' journey. That the death of Jesus wasn't the end. We know that, yeah, but they didn't. We get the bigger picture story. And one of the joys actually this morning about seeing Jez, welcome back into this family, back home, I should say. So great to have you and Emma here. As you get older, one of the things I love is to see the story of transformation of what Jesus is doing in people's lives. You know, Jez came to us before he went to the US and had this inkling that Jesus wanted him to go to the US. He followed that prompting, and now it's such a great joy to see what Jesus is doing in his life. Because we have hindsight, yeah? We can look, but I bet you if you sat with Jess and said, he probably was scared out of his wits in the midst of uncertainty and faith and trust and anchoring himself on who he was in Jesus and what he felt Jesus was speaking to him about. And it's a challenge. And I believe that that's when we're most vulnerable. That's when the enemy will get in and go, see, I told you Jesus wasn't with you. See, I told you that this is too big an issue for you to deal with. But God is faithful, and God will continue to be at work in our lives as we continue to trust him. But the journey between Passover and Pentecost is something amazing that happened in the disciples' journey. All of a sudden, they had hope, they had joy, they had purpose, and despite the circumstances and uncertainty, they continued to live a life in surrender to Jesus and saw the transformation of work and power at work within them and through their lives as a result of the struggle and the disappointment and the journey that they went through. Their story wasn't over in that moment, that there was Jesus was at work and with them. And we see that, you know, the healing at the beautiful gate, the healing of that leper at the beautiful gate in Acts, where God moved powerfully in and through their lives. And all their journey, all their transformational journey, God was at work in and through it all. There wasn't one part that Jesus wasn't transforming and wasn't working in and through. And it was the power of the Holy Spirit at work in their lives in the midst of that. So it's all about God's love for us and the challenge for us to continue to allow the Holy Spirit to work in and through us in the midst of all circumstances. And for some of you this Christmas, you may be going through a time of struggle, you may be going through a time of uncertainty. Can I encourage you? Jesus hasn't forgotten you. Jesus is walking with you and Jesus loves you. Peter and John gave the man at the beautiful gate hope because they had faith not in their own ability, but in God's. Not in the circumstances they could see, his situation, but in the one they knew, in the one that they had anchored their faith on in Jesus, in the one that they experienced, in the one that they allowed to bring a transformational work in and through their lives. What an amazing gift to go from trying to do it on their own to silver and gold have I none, but what I do have, I have Jesus. That's the good news. What I bring to you is Jesus. And I wanted to finish just on this video. It's a video. It's a confronting video, so just want to warn you, sorry. It's a video of hope from the persecuted church. And I wanted to show it to you because it's a message of, I believe, the power of God in the midst of devastation and the positioning of his church. And I believe, and I will continue to fight for it, his church is messy. And it's broken, and it has people like Brett and I that have made a lot of mistakes along the way. But Jesus loves his church. It's the hope of the world, and we need to give honor to that, and we need to give testimony to the hope of the church. Because I tell you what, it's in the midst of battle, and it needs voices of hope and future and promise. It is copying enough criticism. Speak life into what Jesus speaks life into. Because it is a beautiful thing. The church, when it operates the way God intended, is a powerful, life transformational, miraculous gift we have in this world. And all of us have a responsibility to cherish it and to pray for it.
Thanks for joining us today. We hope you've been blessed by this teaching. If you'd like to connect with us, make a financial gift, or find out more about Kingsway Churches, head to kingsway.org.au. Have a good one.